In fact, it is seriously terrible news, because left to ourselves, we will mess things up big time. How many of you already know that to be true? Just look at the news. Look at what we see every day. It's not good. School shootings, bullying in schools and on social media, beatings, murder, stealing, vandalism, adultery, gossip, hatred, riots, cop killings, alcohol and drug problems, families at war, countries at war, and the list goes on and on and on daily. But here's the thing. Remember our question? How does God see people? God created everything. And the pinnacle of all creation was the creation of man in God's own image, in His likeness. Humanity is incredibly special. The Bible? The Bible is the record of the love story between God and man. From the very beginning of time until the modern day church, God has loved and pursued His creation, seeking to restore our fellowship with Him. The most known and most quoted verse in the Bible is, what would you think? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so the key idea of this chapter, of course, was that God loves all people. God so loved the world. And with that single verse, John 3:16, Jesus sets straight the myth that God somehow loves some more than others. For God so loved who? The world. Not just the pretty ones, not just the educated, the wealthy, or the successful, not just the charismatic personalities, not just the well-behaved children, not just the religious elite, but everyone. He loves the bartender as much as He loves the baritone in the church choir. He loves the Middle East person as much as He loves the Midwestern person. He loves the prostitute as much as He loves the preacher. He loves the world. And if we see people as God sees them, then we will love all people too. Now listen carefully. It's about to get ugly. God loves all people. But that does not mean that we are to accept the modern false teaching that God is accepting of all people and everything, and therefore the church should be too. Instead of looking for a church that teaches the truth, many are on a quest to find a church that can both satisfy their innate desire to worship God and at the same time live the lifestyle they want to live, regardless of how ungodly it is. Some consider it a great feat to find a church that allows them to live how they want to live and still feel like they're worshiping God. A personal relationship with God is not a religious buffet where you can go through the line and create your own spiritual perfect plate filled only with things that you like. You don't get to build or customize Jesus or the cross to suit your wants and wishes. Our world is no different than Isaiah's world when people ask the prophets to give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Isaiah 30, verse 10. Paul said centuries ago to Timothy, The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. My friends, we are living in that day. The customized Christ movement is in full swing. And at the heart of this movement is the feeling, the belief, that Jesus was so loving and so kind and so accepting of everyone that He would never stand for any kind of exclusion or discrimination. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Yes, it's true. Jesus loves everyone. But He was far from accepting behaviors not in line with the Father's will. He did not come to this earth just to accept people and then let them live however they wanted. After saying to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee," what did He say? "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more." In Matthew 10, Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father." In fact, to some people who believe they have been and they have done all the right things, He will say to them, "I never knew you. But Lord, look at what we did. I never knew you." Well, that's not very accepting. That's not very tolerant. That's not very inclusive. He asks you to take a stand and to choose which side of the line you're going to be on, and then to prove it by keeping the faith, by taking up your cross daily, and by enduring to the end. Everything, everyone is not okay, nor are they accepted by God. All are loved by God. He loves the world, but our behaviors have the power to leave us standing at a door He will not open. God's love for everyone should not be misinterpreted as the approval of God. And neither should the forgiveness of Christ be misinterpreted as the acceptance of sin. That leads us to another truth about how God sees people. God sees all people as sinners. Too often, churches and Christians will embrace a few scriptures that make us feel good and then omit everything else we know about Jesus and what the Bible teaches about Jesus that might somehow make us feel bad. It's not nice, and therefore it's not politically correct to call anyone a sinner. I don't mean to offend anyone, but listen, if you take something that's not yours, that's stealing, and you are a thief. If you tell somebody something that's not true, that's a lie, and you're a liar. If you sleep with somebody else's wife, that's not an affair, that's adultery. And on down the list it goes. But some have bowed down to the modern trends and allow themselves to be manipulated by the media and by false teachers. Too many people are looking for a religion that is easy, and too many churches are all too eager to offer them a cheap grace. Many churches are offering instant salvation and teach about a Christ that accepts everyone just the way they are. No, 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 He doesn't. He loves you just the way you are. He invites you to come to Him just the way you are, but He accepts the repentant heart surrendered and obedient to His will. Paul reminds us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Note that first word, all. Not your neighbors, not those heathens, not all those other people out there. It's you and it's me. We can easily change that first word to I. I have sinned and I fall short of the glory of God. Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth and said, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. All of us have sinned and fall short of bringing God the glory and honor due Him. We fall short of what God expects from us, and we fall short of what He desires for us. Now, God could leave us in that condition. That's a choice God can make. He does not have to bail us out of our disobedience, our rebellion, our sin, and our misery. But here's another way God sees all people. He sees all people needing a Savior. All of us. Isaiah put it this way, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Here's the reality of sin and our separation from God, not from the love of God. Paul tells us nothing can separate us from the love of God, but your sin can separate you from God. Our love turned cold toward God, not His toward us, leaving each of us with the same need, the need for a Savior. And here's the good news. I hate sermons that are all just doom and gloom, don't you? Makes you go home feeling so heavy, weighed down. Here's the good news. Back to where we started, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So while God sees all people as sinners and all of us needing a Savior, out of His immense love, He didn't just like us, He so loved us. Out of His immense love for us, we not only need a Savior, we have a Savior. And He's available to everyone. But let me return to an earlier thought. While Jesus died on the cross, because God so loved the world, loves everyone, that does not mean that everyone is automatically saved or heaven bound. God's goal in sending His Son from heaven to earth was not to condemn you. John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's goal in sending His Son was not to condemn you or to show you how bad you are or how unworthy you are or how hopeless you are. God's only desire in sending His Son was to show you His love and to draw you back into a love relationship with Himself. How much does God love you? This much. Jesus didn't come into the world to rebuke you. He came to rescue you. He didn't come to criticize you. He came to cleanse you. He didn't come to punish you. He came to pardon you. He didn't come to destroy you. He came to deliver you. However, that does not mean God is not a God of judgment. There is a huge difference between recognizing right and wrong and being judgmental. There is a difference between judging the unrepentant sinner and being judgmental. Being judgmental means you have a critical spirit that only looks for the bad in people. And when you find it, you're quick to condemn it. That's judgmental. God, on the other hand, will judge us for our sins. With no apology to political correctness, He will even sentence us to hell for those sins. But may I remind you, that would only be a last resort. In fact, you can literally say God will sentence you to hell for your sins only over His Son's dead body. Only if we refuse to accept His offer of forgiveness. If we are sentenced to hell, it will not be because God sends us there. It will only be because of our choices. Whoever believes in Him, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, to believe that or not is your choice. So what now? If God sees all people as loved, if He sees all people as sinners and all people as needing a Savior, and if God has sent His Son to rescue, redeem, reconcile, and restore whoever, then as believers in Christ, followers ourselves, we should love them with the love of Christ. We should see ourselves, as well as all humanity, as sinners. We should see that leaves all of us in need of a Savior. And we should recognize that we have the story of the Savior to tell to the world. Maybe what we need to do now is ask God to give us His eyes and heart as we look at humanity. Ask God to help us see and believe there is good in others worth redeeming. Ask God to give us the humility and the compassion to treat others as He treats us. And ask God to give us the courage to tell people about our Savior, Jesus. Isn't that the mission He sent us on? We are to go into all the world. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to preach and teach and baptize and teach some more. But not just teach them God loves them. Teach them to obey everything He has commanded us. That's why our mission statement at MCC, very top of your bulletin, touching the world with God's love, teaching them with His Word. We must capture God's heart for humanity that truly understands God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He's made a way for that to happen. They all won't, will they? But they should all be given the chance. God loves all. And Jesus died for all. And we are left to take that message to all. But it is up to each one to accept it or to reject it. God does not save on a group plan. He does not save on a family plan. And He certainly does not save on a government plan. Whosoever. But it must be your choice. Each one must choose. I must be honest with you and say, this is the hardest thing for me to believe so far. because I find it much easier to believe in God than to believe in humanity. And if the truth be told, I think most of us feel that way. But if we can change our belief about humanity, we can change the world. That person that cut you off in traffic, instead of what reaction you normally have, how about you just grit your teeth and go, God loves you. That person at work that just really gets under your skin, how about just bowing your head sometime through the day and say, God, remind me you love them, and let my life somehow reflect that love. You can run with that. If we change our belief about humanity, we can change the world. Maybe, just maybe, that change needs to start right here in this room today. Maybe it needs to begin with you. Maybe you need to know. Maybe you need to believe and accept God really does love you. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you can stand there and list all the bad things and places and ideas and thoughts you've ever had. But if you look around this room, we're all sinners. Maybe you need to accept that God loves you enough that He let Christ die for you too. And that if you will come with a repentant heart, willing to surrender to His will and be obedient to His ways, you will not perish. You too will have eternal life. I think Max Lucado says it best when he writes, there are many reasons God saves you: to bring glory to Himself, to appease His justice, to demonstrate His sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons God saved you is because He is fond of you. He likes having you around. He thinks you are the best thing to come down the pike in quite a while. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If He had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, He'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and He chose your heart. And the Christmas gift He sent you in Bethlehem, face it, friend, He's crazy about you. God loves you so much. He sent His only Son, that whosoever, including you, whosoever believes, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, as we ask the question, how does God see people? Maybe make it a little more personal. How does God see me? Well, God loves me. And He sees me as a sinner. He sees me as needing a Savior. And so He gave me one because He loves me. Now, the rest is up to you. You can accept that. You can be one of whoever believes, or you can be one of whoever doesn't. It's your choice. But it will not change the fact that God loves you. You can go to hell unsaved, but you will never go to hell unloved. That's your choice. But you can accept it. And He's made it so simple. From the very first time Christ was preached, risen from the dead, people asked, what do we do? And Peter said, repent, do an about face, turn your life the other direction, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And as you start this new life, He will give you His Holy Spirit to live within you, to help you along the way, to your journey's end, at the beginning of eternal life. But the choice is yours. Father God, this morning, You have made it clear.